Hi, I'm James Norrington from Investors Chronicle. Today I'm joined by Wilhelm Gerchmann, who's Chief Technology Officer of Bitnach.com, which is the Swiss regulated crypto exchange. Welcome, Wilhelm. Good to have you join us today.
Hi, James. Nice to have you here.
Right, now, so obviously Bitcoin has been massively in the news. In the past year, we've seen the value rise from $4,000 to $40,000 in a year. It's now hovering at around $38,500. But it's whipping back and forth, a highly volatile asset class. Is this a dangerous bubble, and is it appropriate for retail investors?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, and I'm very glad to talk with you, James. And well, there is never one side story for such questions being asked, you know. So I think once somebody knows if the situation is bullish or the situation is pretty, I would say, lined up, right, with the market and it's clean, so we would be able to make clear decisions. At this moment, I think we see the tendencies, which is quite obvious. What we can look through the timeline, what happened with the Bitcoins in the past, when we talk about halving, the period after the halving shows the tendencies that possibly the Bitcoin in this year could go nearly to 100,000 or so, to that level. And I think that that obviously there are, you know, massive amounts of the reasons it could go up or down. But the main situation is obvious that it could go that level.
But with the volatility, yeah. is that appropriate for retail investors? Because, you know, we talk about a sort of a big target of, say, if something go to $100,000. But for a retail investor rushing in, they put all their money in. And then if it halves in value, the falls could be very violent on the journey up to a high point. And you see sort of say that the UK regulator, the FCA, has told people to be prepared to lose all their money. So is that a case of regulators being a bit old-fashioned? Or how should investors think about crypto if they are going to have it as part of their portfolio?
Well, I think that that your approach, whatever asset you look into, should be, you know, safe type approach. You should really see what type of diversification you want to have. And obviously going like clearly with all your money into the asset class, which is kind of new and new to the environment, is not the best way to do it. And it's not even about the crypto or any other type of the asset. So I would say yes. I mean, obviously, once the asset is still new to the market and it's kind of young comparing to other assets, it's volatile to many factors, including social factor, social media factor, you know, various government decisions. So you don't want to be too much into trust with investments, which is related to other type of people decisions. So to be very exact with you, there is obviously a chance that Bitcoin in near time goes down or goes even more up. But I think what we are trying to tell to most of our customers, which joins our regulated exchange in Switzerland, that, you know, the main argument is to look into a long-term perspective.
And that long-term perspective, is it, well, a lot of the bull case behind Bitcoin and other cryptos is obviously the erosion of the value of fiat currencies by sort of ultra-loose monetary policy, massive borrowing to fund big infrastructure projects, which devalues the currency and value of their bonds. What are the secular factors behind crypto, and is it here to stay?
Well, I think the year by year it shows that the crypto is becoming more and more stable into the market. The answers probably lie in the regulatory moments and the questions which cryptocurrencies can solve. And there are obviously a lot of the industries where cryptocurrencies are going to solve the problems, and they are. While being new asset to the class, it gives a pattern others, you know, to look more deeper into it. And wherever they look deeper into it, they find new aspects of regulations, of anti-money laundering procedures, and they're being implemented. So I would say that, yeah, behind the moments are showing the clear patterns that institutional investors are coming. And, you know, the rise of the Bitcoin price, the recent rise, is more than obvious that it goes through the stack of, that the Bitcoins are being purchased, the free Bitcoins are being purchased from the regulated exchanges and other exchanges, and there is less and less free Bitcoins on the market, which, you know, the after next happening and after current happening, the happening of the Bitcoin, which left less Bitcoins are mined per day, and the demand is still high, and obviously that the price goes up. So to be exact, how much of this pattern is going to go forward is very hard. But obviously that when we see that large players come and the large amounts are being put, the MicroStrategy and other examples show that, you know, people are trusting this asset and they do believe in that. And they are not bulls, you know. These investments are pretty solid and a long-term approach. So that's, you know, I think that's the pattern which shows which way it goes. So the more institutional players we have, I mean, the more stability we have, because it's not based on emotions.
Right. So there is, I think that the Bitcoin, when Bitcoin was founded, the supply of it has been, it's been set, so it was set finitely, am I correct in saying that? But there are other cryptocurrencies out there. There's Ethereum, there's Dogecoin, which was sort of bid up a bit by sort of Elon Musk's comments about wanting to be paid in it. How should investors, I mean, institutional or retail investors, look at the different types of cryptocurrency and which ones are going to have durability and stay around and which ones are going to just disappear?
Obviously, we always look into the history and then the community which supports the cryptocurrencies, and obviously if we look to the very very prehistory, and we see Bitcoin there as the very beginning of this era, right, with the Satoshi Nakamoto idea, and it has a very huge community behind it, and I think the community is the major factor to representing the stability and the progress of cryptocurrencies. Obviously, the top five, the biggest ones, they are showing now the hype pattern. They're going up, and they are mainly solving the solutions which stands. And if Bitcoin is remaining more like investment type, it goes more to investment type of the coin now. Ethereum solves more type of the payment issues. Obviously, the problems, they are still persistent. You know, the transaction speed and the transaction price. It's also currently the factor which you know, makes others to look for the new type of solutions, including Ethereum choice. So I would look positive to the top coins, but obviously I would recommend people to stick with the really major coins and you know, to be very very cautious about getting into the new coins or the tokens, which usually is mostly affected very, very, I would say, influential by the small type of the decisions. And that brings a variosity.
So just to summarize, I mean, if I were to say Bitcoin, what's it useful for in the real economy? Three things. And Ethereum, what that's useful for in the real economy. Dogecoin, what that's useful in the real... What would you say to each of those three? And do you see futures in those three examples?
Well, I mean, I would say that if we look to the Bitcoin, I would say that Bitcoin should keep as an investment option to keep people their assets diversified from the traditional fiat and traditional type of assets into the Bitcoin, which could be a good keeper of the crypto side. Ethereum, with its if its pattern and the token platforms and the smart contracts could be a helpful and progressing solution for payments and the on top payments of the currency, and well, to be commenting Dogecoin, I would say that, you know, I mean, I'm not the fan of it, and I wouldn't be, you know, digging into this, since I'm not even treating this as a major coin there.
I know Bitcoin and Ethereum. What other, are there any other coins that you would count as part of the major currencies that investors should consider as part of the crypto asset class as investable currencies?
I think that everyone should be thinking of of not just clearly following the pattern where to invest and where to put, but thinking what type of the solution the coin solves, right? For example, EOS, they have a great technology behind, and the coin is still not progressing that level that somebody would, you know, would expect it. But I think they still have a good time to shoot out. And obviously that, you know, we see some examples with like Ripple and so on, that, you know, we never know the real stories behind. So to be recommending someone to be investing into some major coins or to be putting them into the top is always, you know, I mean, that's what I would like to stay out of this. But I would say that the main topic when you look into, you should be looking what is the idea behind it, the idea behind the coin, and who is the people behind the coin, and how it was, you know, developed, and what problem it solves. And once you have some expertise in it, or you put more due diligence to this, even simple due diligence, you can find the way for you to choose your own coins or to use them in your real life. And that would show you where to put your money in. And exactly, you know, part of your portfolio. I never recommend someone to put, like, you know, all of his money or even half or even third of his money. So it should be a very smart diversification.
So, for example, investors might, in a diversified portfolio, they might have, say, 5% in gold as a sort of a diversifier for other. What sort of percentage of a balanced multi-asset portfolio would you see as a reasonable allocation towards Bitcoin or cryptos in general?
I would say it would be reasonable to think about 2% of their portfolio to consider investing into the crypto related environment.
So 2%, I mean, that sounds sort of sensible, where the risk of all the whipsawing and the volatility is diversified with other assets, and that way you're not going to lose your shirt speculating slightly on the price of cryptos, which would be sensible.
Also, James, I mean, just to add that I think that absolutely right, and I would never recommend to do it in a short time period. I mean, just clearly putting, I mean, all investment portfolio per one choice. I think always the option is to choose the strategy and to go recurring way of, you know, of getting into crypto environment, which would let you to put the flat position into the price increases and drops, and to get you yourself into the line of the investment, you know, way.
But obviously the sensible sort of balanced approach as a long-term investor with a tiny sliver of a balanced multi-asset portfolio, that's not what's been driving some of this mania. You've seen a lot of retail investors rushing in to buy Bitcoin. They're sort of seeing it as an easy way to become a millionaire overnight. And you know,
so these are the cancers of this industry. These are the cancers of this industry, and I think that just drives this industry into the huge volatility. I mean, and obviously in the near future or in the simple future, it should get, you know, a normal amortization, that there is less and less such cowboys into the industry, because they create the, you know, the waves.
So I mean, you do have, unfortunately, that they do affect the perception of the industry quite badly. Because if you think, in the UK, you know, obviously the warnings that we've had towards retail investors, there are, for example, ETFs where institutional investors can trade cryptos, which is a regulated product on a regulated exchange. And yet, you know, there's been restrictions placed on investors, you know, buying Bitcoin ETFs, which to me would be a sensible way of having a slice of exposure in a portfolio. So I wonder what your thoughts of that are, and what is the sensible way to purchase Bitcoin as a retail investor as part of your 2% of your portfolio. What's the safest way to do it?
I think this is a very good the very good start and the very right approach to be investing and part of your portfolio into cryptocurrencies. And I think you should, the first thing what you should choose the regulated institution, which has clear books and it has the you know, the clear surface how you proceed with that, and later on you can justify your investments with your regulators, if it's UK with FCA or the same way in Switzerland with FINMA. So, you know, there wouldn't be problems in the future for your investments and the and the decisions we made in the past. So I encourage, obviously, these players coming into the market because they bring this stability that we all want. And I think that, to guide them through that, there are a lot of, decisions which is based on other assets as well. So Bitcoin is nothing really different in that approach. I think you should follow the common steps of investing into something and, defining the strategy which you want to take. Doesn't matter if it's a gold or if it's a Bitcoin. I mean, obviously, it has the different movement in the market, but as long as you shouldn't be paying attention to short-term, fluctuations if your pattern is a long-term investment, and vice versa, if we understand. And the ones who want to speculate and to become overnight millionaires, I would say that there were and there will be always the players who want to play a roulette, and I just, let them do that. It's kind of, natural things, I think.
So what about the, again, looking at the applications of Bitcoin specifically? So it's great because of the security of settlement and ownership. But there's sort of a dichotomy between that and the fact that it's very opaque in terms of ownership, which is at one hand an advantage, but it's also attracted a bit of negative attention because of people like drug dealers and terrorists being able to use Bitcoin to launder money. What other ways of improving the image of Bitcoin and in terms of the application in legitimate enterprises, how do you see that growing? How do sort of central banks and governments feel about sort of settlement and real life money exchange being done in a currency that they don't control?
Well, I think it's kind of a self-cleaning mechanism, which you cannot really break through a control there. There will be always someone shouting around that we have the drug dealers or anybody else using the protocol. But if we look to official results, I think that more or less less than 1% of the transactions that are being on the Bitcoin network, they are associated with a black type of activity and the black market activity. So we know that the protocol itself is very transparent, and obviously if someone thinks that it's easy way to hide something and not to become it on the surface in the future, it's obviously not clear and not right position. Only the current situation, which still doesn't have a capacity to extract information as it follows, it still brings opportunity for short-term things to happen. But in the long term, we all know that the blockchain is open and many of the addresses are already, and there are a lot of tools being implemented to associate address one with another to mark Bitcoins. And for sure, I think in the future we'll have the Bitcoins marked with some special marks internally, with like associated with different type of industries and being black or white, if we can tell like this, clean or not clean. The ones that has to be processed through AML, additional AML procedures, and linked to different countries, sanctioned countries, and for different proportions. So if someone thinks that they can easily get out with that, it's definitely not that easy. If we think smart about the future. So just the time now is still very young and very early for those procedures to be handled. So long-term perspective, I think that there are a lot of mechanisms that can be included. There is obviously, much more talks than a real type of the, volatile environment into the Bitcoin protocol. We can announce that, and we know that from the wallet movements, that most of the Bitcoins are being held and they do not make any type of movement from wallets. And they are as a passive investment things, as same we know about the gold, that most of them, it's sitting in the basements being not used, right, as investment option. So there is a lot of, possible ways how the situation can turn on. I think this will bring more cleaned up situation, then the banks will have the enough security protocols and enough security layers to join cryptocurrencies into their portfolios, and they are looking to that. There is a lot of developments into this, and obviously these players will change a bit, you know, the atmosphere of these transactions.
Which banks are likely to sort of to get involved in the new crypto ecosystem? Is it neobanks or is it traditional banks?
Absolutely. I can tell you, I mean, we are working with development, you know, IT development structure, with development technologies of, you know, custodian solutions. And there is, I mean, obviously, I will not tell you names, but I can assure you that the major banks, the major players are already having the teams much bigger than the traditional teams to implement this protocol to their solutions and to their portfolio. And just nobody is shouting about that. You know, it's a very silent period that everybody is making their choices and integrating the options. And for sure, in the near future, it's going to bring up to reality.
Well, that's interesting. So again, I mean, obviously, if you can't mention names, but if you were an investor and you held shares in a major sort of stock exchange listed bank, would you say that on the whole that cryptocurrencies is an opportunity that these type of established businesses are they're moving towards this opportunity well, or is it only sort of smaller sort of neo banks, fintechs that are appreciating this opportunity?
Well, the neo banks and fintech banks are the first ones to implement the ideas. They are like, you know, the Columbus of this financial field. They want to find something and to find their way to the market. And obviously they start the waves. But you know, the big players, and I'm very confident what I'm telling there, you know, because I'm a long time in this industry. The big players, without making too much noise, they're preparing their guns. You know, they're already investing into the solution. They're making separate departments. Of course, their approach is more sophisticated, more conservative, but they're bringing up the patterns, and they are trying to understand the technology and the safe approach. And that doesn't mean they have to share it with their investors, or, you know, they're just more positioning it as an exploratory service and more type of the, you know, of investigation things, which will definitely come into the way because they understand that it's the future. The transactions is the future. Nobody can wait the international transaction for 3-4 days through a traditional. We know it's the past, and we know it's going to change, and that's a fact.
So the international transactions and the speeding up of things like settlement and custody of international transactions in things like equities and fixed income securities, is this an application that you can see crypto becoming integral to?
Absolutely. I think I stand with it. I believe to this idea, and I think that integrity between the banks we clearly know that the SWIFT organization, you know, they are introducing the solutions, the blockchain solutions into the market. You know, obviously it's not that, you know, that not well integrated or not widely integrated, but everybody is trying to achieve the technology into their existing business modules. Some of them it's very hard to implement, and the new ones will arise. But definitely, we don't see in the next years transactions being connected through all type telex machines, which obviously brings a lot of machines, human type errors. But we see this mathematically being, you know, incremented through the different continents and being instant. And that's where the value is.
So this is potentially revolutionary for a lot of industries, financial industries, any industry involved in the movement and settlement of money and transactions. So another way to play it is not necessarily owning the cryptocurrencies themselves. It's probably investing in the companies that are going to profit from this revolution. Which countries and which stock exchanges do you see sort of companies that are going to be trailblazing this potentially, where investors could invest in them?
Well, I would, James, I would like to avoid myself of trying to lead people where to look into, but I can tell that obviously if they do some research on the current market, there are, you know, major players who develop the technology, and they are progressing in that. And you know, the main thing is I'm just providing the overview of the sections and the possible, you know, technology upgrades, which is interesting and could change the whole transactional area. The ones who even can do the surface investigation by typing the simple, you know, criterias of the new blockchain transactions, Swift blockchain transactions, banking blockchain, new protocol gateways, they can look into the players. You know, obviously Israel is taking a huge part into the technology development. I mean, United States, you know, it also plays a major effect. And we can tell that a lot of industries, which start from neobanks and ending with a gambling area, gaming area, they already think these solutions are irreplaceable. And they're already existing long time. They're just bringing to the surface now.
So another area that crypto has been criticized is the amount of physical energy it costs to mine new cryptocurrencies. I just want to explain a bit more why it's such an energy intensive process and why what investors who are concerned about climate change and the effects on the environment can do to lessen the impact of their Bitcoin investing on the environment, if they're environmentally, socially, governance, ESG conscious investors, how should they approach it?
Well, there are in every technology there are good and bad sides, and we know that energy consuming in this industry is the main factor that drives the computers to make calculations. And I think that I would say in this approach we would take in this situation we would take a bit different approach than some of the major, influencers and the key players of the world were trying to help Africa to save the water. They were not trying to put the new water tanks and cisterns to produce more water. They're trying to save the water in the toilets, right? And the flushing the water and saving the water in the different type way. So in this mining field, in the computer algorithms and calculations, I would say that the most efficient way would be not to think how to eliminate that. I think how the way would be to think how to diversify the calculations to make it, additional effect. So we all know that, the computers which produce the calculations, they could be useful in providing like the additional, heat type of the services and the heat type of the power, stations. So I would say that we would need to think how to, to use the power and to use the produced energy to be reused and reconverted into different type of the resources which we could use. In that way, we could think what we save and how we manage those savings.
Okay, excellent. So Wilhelm Gehrmann, if you had just to summarize, where do you think, let's put you on the spot, where do you think the Bitcoin price would be in 3 years' time? If it's impossible to say really, but what's your gut feeling?
Well, I will tell like this. I don't want to predict the price. I think that it's it's not that interesting for me. But I would say that I believe that that we will have the major cryptocurrencies, and I will talk about Bitcoin here myself. That it could go really to the level that the gold is in the market, and to reach the gold level in the market, what gold has with the amount invested in the gold worldwide, it could still grow 20 to 30 times from the current price.
Wow! Well, that's possibly worth 1 or 2% of your portfolio then.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Wilhelm Gehrmann, thank you very much for your time today. Speak to you again soon, I'm sure. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. I wish you a nice day. Bye.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.